Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. Y'all might as well get with it.
Praises of you say yeah.
what y'all trying to do. We got to move on. We got to move on. Oh. Y'all want a few more minutes? Do y'all want a few more?
Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, August 15, 2021. Now, I am Bishop Shalene Cook. I am the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by some anointed, beautiful servant leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, hallelujah, Apostle Edwin Holloway, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, and Minister Anthony Brooks. And this morning, I have a very special person in the assembly with me. I have my little sister, Jacoya Gray, here. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something that will truly, truly bless your soul. So at this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. Amen.
Father God, we just thank you this morning. We just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We lift you up and we magnify your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. This is your day that you've made, and we're rejoicing this morning because you've done so much for us, and you're continuing to do so. Father God, we ask that you would give your people an ear to hear what your spirit is saying in the message today, and what each and every person adds to the program and says on the program, God, that you will destroy yokes of bondage, and Father God, that you will bring encouragement to us today. Father God, that you will just speak to us and through us. And God, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing around the world, for those that are listening from around
yes,
the world.
Lord.
Father God, we thank you for giving us a global voice, Father God,
yes.
to you. And Lord, we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And Father God, that you would touch and anoint each song sung, Father God, each person speaking,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God. We just thank you. We thank you, God.
Lord.
Each prayer that is prayed, Father God, is anointed.
Yes,
and we thank you for hearing our prayer and answering our prayer.
Yes, Jesus.
And just being in this beautiful service. We thank you. And we give you all of the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen.
Ooh, amen. Glory. Beautiful.
Amen.
Just beautiful. Amen.
Amen.
Keep inspiring.
Oh, hallelujah. That was the beautiful Sister Yolanda Adams singing Never Give Up. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our beloved mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a mighty powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So would you please give your undivided attention now to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. Our lesson reads as follows, and it's entitled, Jesus Delights in You, Drawing from Him. We'll be looking at John 4 and 32. And the 32nd verse reads, But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Now, when people make demands on you or keep depending on you, you may end up stressed, tired, and irritable. But this is not the case with Jesus. When people draw from him, he is strengthened and refreshed. Jesus is, after all, God. And you honor God when you take your place as man and let God be God by drawing from him. The one who said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, Matthew 20 and 28, loves it when you allow him to minister to you. The Bible tells us that when Jesus arrived at Sychar, he was wearied from the journey and rested at a well. A sinful Samaritan woman then came to the well to draw water. Jesus ministered to her, and she left rejoicing with the promise of living water. The disciples, having returned with food for Jesus, found him already strengthened and refreshed. When they wondered who had given him food while they were away, he told them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. John 4, verses 1 through 42. Today, when you draw from Jesus and let him minister to you, it is food for him that refreshes and strengthens him. But it takes humility for us to allow Jesus to minister to us. We take pride in doing things for the Lord. We want to build our business, families, and ministries for him. All that is good, but without Jesus, we are spiritually bankrupt. We really have nothing to give to the Lord and his work. What we need to do first is to receive from him, because when we freely receive from him, we are able to freely give. Matthew 10 and 8. My friend, Jesus wants to minister to you. Don't try to minister to yourself. That is pride and self-righteousness. The Pharaohs of Jesus' day, who felt that they did not need him and that they could provide for themselves, were the ones who could not receive from him. So bring to him your needs and say, Lord, I need to draw from you. I present my needs to you. Minister to me and meet my needs. I cannot, but you can. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. And the thought for the day, we need to first receive from you.
Clap it up.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you born. Faith commanded and the mountains moved. Fear is ground to our hope in you. unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
We serve an unstoppable God. Thank you, Jesus. You are listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. Thank you, Lord. And in the house with me, I am Bishop Cook, and in the house with me this morning, we have Mother Mitchell. Hallelujah. We have Prophetess and Apostle Holloway. We have Minister Anthony Brooks. We have Evangelist, both of them, Michelle Scott, and we have Evangelist Cassie Horton, and we also have Minister Gladys in the house with us this morning, and we're so glad and so blessed that they are all here, and we want you to stand with us in prayer. Right now, we're going to go to the Lord, and this is a time when we come together as a family, simply standing in the gap, hallelujah, for our brothers and sisters all over this world. So right now, hallelujah, I want you to begin to just focus on the object of our adoration and our affection as we go to him in prayer. And I want you to know that here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we pray expecting God to move, because he told us if we abide in him and he abides in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. And you can turn your Bible any way that you want to. The word is still going to say it shall be done. So right now, I want to ask that you bow your hearts with these mighty servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. And we are now going to go to prayer, hallelujah, with a mighty and anointed intercessor, my sister, evangelist, Kathy Horton. Amen.
Good morning. God bless you all. Let's put our minds, as she was saying, let's put our minds on Jesus and get our focus there. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for one more day to get it right with you. I ask you, first of all, to forgive us all our sins and all of our righteousness and help us to walk holy and upright in your sight. In the name of Jesus, let our hearts and minds stay focused on you, that we might, our lives may glorify you. Lord, I ask you to bless everybody in the sound of our voices, that you bless them according to your will and your purpose, and give them the desires of their hearts, as your word says. Father, those who are praying for their unsaved loved ones, in the name of Jesus, don't let them be satisfied in their mess, but stir their hearts and minds to you in the name of Jesus,
yes,
they may come calling and running to you to be saved and walk holy and upright in your sight. Let their desires be towards you. Let their lives glorify you in the name of Jesus and make them also fruitful witnesses in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to bless those that are sick and shut in the name of Jesus. For your word says, if we have faith and believe, you will heal them. So I tell you what, I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, build up their faith where they can receive their healing in the name of Jesus. Build it up, and their lives may glorify you in the name of Jesus. Those that are sick in the hospital, confound the doctors. When you heal their bodies, confound the doctors where they have to admit that you are God, and they were truly healed by you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for that. Those who are in sex trafficking, in Jesus' name, deliver them, set them free, and don't let that trauma be part of their lives, the rest of their lives, but free them from that trauma in the name of Jesus. Those who have been murdered, those have tried to kill them, in Jesus' name, don't let that trauma hold on to them. Free them, set them free of Satan's devices in Jesus' name. Those who are bound by Satan, those who are possessed by Satan, we call that out in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus, and they declare and decree healing and set free in the name of Jesus. In politics, Lord,
Lord Jesus,
put the right people in office in the name of Jesus that wants to obey your word, not to the pop what's popular, but obey your word. They're all claiming to be saved. A lot of them claim, but Lord, their actions prove different. Make some changes in the name of Jesus. Make some changes from the White House all the way down, from the Senate to the Congress. All of us in our local government, our mayors, our governors, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to bless the pulpit. Bless the ministry in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. You know. Where we need fixing,
Lord.
Fix it.
Fix it.
People
Lord.
Need to know the truth. No more compromising words. Don't let them compromise the word. But, Lord, let it be true. Let it be right so people will know how to live according to your will. They don't know the truth,
Lord.
So they're not fixing it. And I'm talking about the church, Father. You know. And I know you're not satisfied. So, Lord, when you start fixing the churches, when you start fixing that pulpit, start with me, too. Fix me.
Me, too.
Fix me. In the name of Jesus.
Start with me.
In the name of Jesus. Fix the usher board. Fix the
choir.
Fix everything.
Yes,
fix
Lord.
The congregation.
Fix Jesus.
Let us be a light wherever we go. In the name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You see the condition of our world. You see it. So, Father, have mercy. Glory.
Yes,
have mercy.
Lord.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Help us get it right and get it straight with you.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we'll give you the honor and we'll give you the praise, for you're truly, truly worthy of it. In Jesus' name, I'm looking for a miracle, I'm expecting a miracle, and I know it's going to happen. In Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity, Father, to come before you, making yourself available to us. Having access to us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. What a beautiful prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus.
firstborn.
Oh, hallelujah. Our God always wins. Thank you, Jesus. Well, saints, it is now time for this morning's message, so please retrieve your Bibles. And I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 33 through 42. The book of Acts, chapter 5, 33 through 42. If you are listening to me via your computers or in the chat room, you can go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts 5, and we are going to be looking at verses 33 through 42. And the word of God reads as follows. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the men, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace now, asking you to empty me of self, step into this body of clay, and simply have your way. Lord, I pray that this message will truly reach the lost so that they might come into agreement to having a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that this message will edify, equip, and instruct your saints on how to live a more abundant life in you right now. So it is in Jesus' name I pray all things. And I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to bring your holy word. Amen. All right, family of faith, this morning we will be pulling into one of two final stops of our transformational journey to purpose. Now, so far, we have looked at how we as children of God have been uniquely gifted, created, shaped and molded by God, and he has purposed and gifted us with an expression of his Holy Spirit to support his vision and his mission for his church. Now, our abilities are intended to be gifts given away to others to the glory of God. And we will be able to realize God's plan fully when we remove the limitations that we ourselves place on our lives and we truly learn how to trust God in his wisdom and in his ability to do all things. Then, get saints of God, we will become unstoppable. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, unstoppable purpose. See, there are very few things in life that are unstoppable. And the only truly unstoppable force in this world comes from God. And it is the Spirit of God who makes his church, his people, and his purpose unstoppable. Now, I've watched sports for a lot of years now, and every once in a while you hear about a player or a team described as unstoppable. Right now, LeBron James comes to mind. But they're called unstoppable because either they are so fast or so strong that their opponents do not stand a chance against them, or they're like Muhammad Ali. They float like a butterfly and they can sing like a bee. Other so-called unstoppable teams in years past have been the Dallas Cowboys, the L.A. Lakers, the New York Yankees, and I know there's a whole bunch of others. Now, some unstoppable players were people like Earl Camp, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, or Shaquille O'Neal. But realistically, even though these teams and players were all and are very good, none of them can be called unstoppable. You know why? Because we all get old and circumstances change. We are limited creatures living in a limited world, and only God is not limited. Only God does not change. Only God is unstoppable. And this leads me to our topic. Because you see, saints, we need to know and understand that because God's purpose is unstoppable, we would do well to get on his plan and cooperate with him and pursue his will for our lives, okay? So you might be sitting there asking yourself, well, how do we do this effectively? Well, now I'm going to let us look at three principles, just three, that will help us as we pursue God's unstoppable purpose. The first thing I want you to know out the gate, that those of us who pursue God's unstoppable purpose, we should expect opposition, as recorded in here in verse 33 and 40. We see, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. For you see, as the apostles were faithful to obey God and carry out his purpose he had for them, they also encountered some fierce hostility. The same group of people who had put Jesus to death now sat before them with the same murderous look in their eyes. The apostles knew this could be for them. Yet, saints, we don't find them wringing their hands and saying, oh my, what are we going to do? No, they were leaving their consequences up to God. You see, Jesus had already warned them of the opposition they should expect to encounter. In Matthew 10:16-20, we read these words. Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And at that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, maybe we could sum all of that up with this. What Jesus was saying is, trust me. You are going to face problems. You are going to face opposition. But trust me to help you accomplish my purpose in the midst of those trials. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So, saints, we should not be surprised if when we're doing the will of God, we face indifference, hostility, and at times downright hatred. And this is especially true when we are doing God's will as it relates to sharing the gospel or the good news that Jesus loves people and wants to forgive their sin. You see, some people cannot come to grips with the reality of their own sin. And I'm talking about in and out of the church. And these people will lash out at anyone who brings the subject up to them. So, yes. There are Christians that are comfortable in the sin that they're in. There are people in this world who are comfortable in the sin that they are in. But we have to be prepared, saints. We should prepare ourselves spiritually, mentally, and emotionally for the opposition that will come when we set out to do what God wants us to do. You have often heard me say on the various programs, I've given people an opportunity to bless the servant leader, to encourage the servant leader. Because to be quite honest, when a servant leader is preaching the way God wants them to preach and teaching the way God wants them to teach and living the way God wants them to live, guess what, saints? They're not going to get a lot of amens. They're not going to get a lot of way to go. They're not going to get a lot of atta boys or atta girls. So we should expect it. But how do we prepare mentally, spiritually, emotionally? Well, we can start by recognizing God's promise to be with us and help us through the difficult times. No matter what we're going through, no matter how the waves are being tossed and the wind is driven, hallelujah, Jesus is still in the boat with us. But baby, he ain't sleep. He up there at the right hand of God looking at everything. He has a bird's eye view of the whole world. He doesn't miss a thing. And you see, because he's faithful, because he's unstoppable, because his promises are true, those of us who pursue God's unstoppable purpose, we're going to be able to weather any storm. We're going to be able to weather the opposition. We will be able to overcome intimidation. Verse 40 says, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. You know what? The fear factor has kept and is keeping so many sincere Christians from walking in God's unstoppable purpose for their lives. We sometimes get the idea that if we come up against obstacles or we come up against threats or we come up against intimidation, that we must have missed God's leading somewhere along the way. However, sometimes difficulties may actually be a sign that we are exactly where we are supposed to be, that we are exactly doing what we are supposed to do, and that we are in God's will and not out of his will. So, because if we were to stop pressing forward whenever the enemy rears his old big old ugly flat head, we won't get very far in pursuing everything that God has marked out for us to do. You know, the Lord told Joshua numerous times, fear not, for I am with you. You see, the closer we are to the Lord through prayer and the reading of his word and just walking in his word, the better we will be able to overcome the fear factor when opposition comes our way. You see, we are going to be able to endure intimidation. We are going to be able to endure suffering because along with overcoming the fear factor of the enemy, we can carry on even if physical or emotional pain comes our way. Verse 40 also says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. They were beaten, probably about 39 stripes, causing a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of humiliation. You would think this would really be upsetting to them. But what was their response? Verse 41 says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name's sake. Now, I want you to understand that suffering disgrace is more than just physical pain. It's also emotional trauma. Yet, instead of getting mad at God for allowing this to happen, they rejoiced and they felt grateful to be counted worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm just, you know me, your sister Bishop just going to keep it really real with you. So let me just say that sometimes I'm just not really sure that I'm spiritually mature enough to rejoice when I face pain and humiliation. Okay? I don't know. But praise God, I haven't had to face a lot of that. So I probably have a long way to go in that area. But I do know this. I know that with God's help, I can endure any suffering that comes my way. And I know this, I will still be able to see his purpose fulfilled through my life if I just hold on to his unchanging hand. If I just keep on remembering that, hey, he's the one that's overcome trouble. Hallelujah. He's the one that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I can even think to ask or imagine. Let me tell you something. This is how good my God is. Even death can't stop God's unstoppable purpose from being fulfilled. Now, I know this is something that we don't like to think about, but hey, like I said at the home going on Friday, we all have an appointment with death unless the Lord returns first. However, when we die, God's purpose does not die with us. You might even say that his purpose for us is just getting started when we die, because the Bible says we will have responsibilities given to us in heaven. We will rule and reign with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that will not be a passive thing where we just sit on the throne and do nothing. I believe that we will be carrying out God's purpose in a way that we are not even able to conceive or imagine yet. Another reason God's purpose doesn't die with us is because his purpose is bigger than any of us. As you look at the apostles, God's purpose was bigger than any of them. It was bigger than Peter when he was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to die like the Lord. It was bigger than Paul when he was put to death by the wicked Emperor Nero. It was bigger than Stephen when he was stoned to death by the Jewish leaders. It was bigger than each of and every one of the disciples who were put to death by people who hated God and despised his purpose. John was the only apostle not put to death, but even he died of old age. But God's purpose still did not stop. His purpose is still unstoppable because God's purpose cannot be stopped, because God loves people. He created his people and his purpose to bring them back to himself. He chooses, hear me clearly, he doesn't need us, but he chooses to entrust his purpose with weak and feeble-minded people like us. But somehow, the job still gets done. And no amount of opposition can squelch the purpose of God. Those who pursue God's unstoppable purpose, they're not going to be sidetracked. No, Lord, no, nope, not going to do it. We see from the scripture, after facing the hostile intimidation of the Sanhedrin, and after suffering the pain and the humiliation of being beaten publicly, the apostles went right back to doing what God had purposed them to do, preaching the gospel. Look at it in verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. You see, they never stopped. They kept at it. They didn't give up. They would not be dissuaded, hallelujah, from doing what God wanted them to do. In my best Winston Churchill voice, they were saying, never give up, never give up, never, never, never give up. How much does it take to get you off track from obeying and serving God? When disappointments come your way, do you throw up your hands and say, okay, that's it, I quit? If God isn't going to take care of better care of me than that, then I'll just boycott him and I'll live any way I want to. Or God, how am I supposed to do this if you don't do that? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I haven't found easy answers for any of these kinds of questions because there aren't any. You just have to face it, my brothers and sisters. Put on your big boy pants and your big girl panties. Sometimes life is just really hard. However, I have found that my God, he is totally, completely faithful and loving. His purpose of showing his love towards me will not be stopped by any pain or any grief that I may experience. His love and his purpose for me will not stop because I question. He will not stop loving me because I question him about some bad things that may be happening around me.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul tells me, hallelujah, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 39 through 35 through 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, what makes us unstoppable when we are carrying out God's unstoppable purpose is when we are holding on to Jesus. The best anchor to hold on to steady you during the storm, is the assurance that Jesus loves you completely and he will never abandon you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You may face a mountain of problems and disappointments, but Jesus is going to be right there with you, helping you through them one by one by one. And he will also help you to stay on track with his unstoppable purpose for your life. See, he has something he wants to accomplish through your life. There is something that he wants you to do that nobody else can do the way you can do it. But if the enemy can get to you, and he can get you to doubt God's love for you, if he can get you to doubt God's care for you, then you may fall out of alignment with God and his purpose for you, just as Adam and Eve did. But I beseech you today, my brothers and sisters, don't let that happen. Remember this above all else. Jesus loves you no matter what, and he will never let you down. He will never leave you or forsake you. Now, we've been talking about the unstoppable work and unstoppable purpose of God. And just as Gamaliel said, when something is of God, you can't stop it. You see, fighting against God will get you absolutely nowhere. So as you set your heart to pursue God's purpose for your life, you can expect opposition, but you can't cave into it. You have to recognize with God's help, you can weather any kind of storm. You can weather any kind of opposition. Whether you won't allow yourself to be sidetracked by disappointments and discouragement. God loves you, and he will help you make it to the very end. Those who endure until the end will be guaranteed the victory. Think about this. Is your life in alignment with God's unstoppable purpose for you? Do you know what his purpose is for you? Well, first and foremost, his primary purpose is for you and for me to know him and to make him known. So the first part is you making him your Lord and Savior and you getting to know him. And then the second part, which should always follow, is to make him known to others. Because if you spend any time with God, you will recognize and realize that God is unstoppable. He always wins. He never fails. Hallelujah. If God is unstoppable, if God always wins, if God never fails, guess what? And you're walking around in him. Hallelujah. You can go head on and count that victory as yours. We have to take the limitations off ourselves. We've got to get the fear out of our lives. We've got to remove all that doubt. We've got to, and then we've got to know, if God told me to do it, oh, I'm going to get it done. And ain't nobody down here going to stop me. Ain't nobody on this earth, under this earth, around this earth going to stop me from doing what my Father has called me to do. And I'm going to do it gladly. I'm going to do it with a sincere heart. I'm going to do it with joy. Because just the fact that I'm counted worthy to preach his holy word is still amazing to me. I've been doing it for over 30 years. And it's still awesome. The fact that he can use me to bless people, to meet the needs of people, makes me rejoice. And it's not about getting credit. It's not about bragging about, oh, I did this, I did that. No, it's about, hallelujah, Jesus, you found me worthy to be used. You found me worthy to be your hands and your feet. You found me worthy to be your voice. You found me worthy, Father God. And if you find me worthy now, then I know that I can expect to hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. And I pray that each and every one of you will too. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. At this time, I am going to ask our mighty apostle, Edwin Holloway, to come into the room, and he is going to extend an invitation to all of you listening in the chat rooms, those of you that are here with us in the sanctuary. He's going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus, and then he's going to pray for you. Following that, we are going to allow our wonderful servant leaders to put a praise on it. And if you, too, would like to have a word of praise or just simply give a testimony thanking God for who he is in your life, if you kindly press your 1 on your keypad, that will alert me that you would like to put your praise on it as well. And if you're in our 3 chat rooms, if you want to begin typing right now, you can do that also. But right at this moment, I'm going to have our anointed apostle, Edwin Holloway, come to extend that invitation and prayer to you. Amen.
We give God praise, glory, and honor for all you listeners and those that have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We invite you to come to the throne of grace. God is standing with his hand out, and he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, God is no big anything. Just come to God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All you have to do is say, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. God, you sent your son to die on the cross for us, and I recognize that he did. Father God, I repent of all my sins, and I ask you to take over my life, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. And dear Jesus, I thank you for saving me and delivering me. In Jesus' name." If you have prayed that prayer, welcome to the house of prayer. Welcome to the body of Christ. You are a born-again Christian.
Hallelujah.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for all these that have come. We ask you, Lord, to touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Father God, we ask you, Lord, to have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the great I Am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God, you touched them, God. Lead and guide them through all truth. You said in your word you would. So, Father God, we thank you to lead them to the right place, God, to give them the word, God, a Bible that they may read, oh God, and bring and give them the understanding, oh God, as they read. And Father God, we ask you, Lord, to lead them to a ministry. They may not be able to go physically to a ministry, God, because of the pandemic. But God, you can lead and guide them to a place, oh God, that they may be able to hear the word, oh God, over the airways, God, in the name of Jesus. And help them, oh God, to either come back, oh God, to this airway in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
And Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God.
Yes, Jesus.
And give them peace, oh God, in everything that they do, God. Show them, oh God, who you really are. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the souls, God. For you said
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In heaven. The angels in heaven are
rejoicing
over just one soul, God, in the name of
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Father, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was absolutely beautiful. Now, as if you follow us here at the Spirit Alive Network, you know that we minister as a family. So at this time, I'm going to allow these anointed servant leaders, to each of them, to come forth and to share a nugget of truth or just to give a praise at this time. And we're going to start with the mother of our church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, this morning.
Praise God, Bishop. You know, I don't have much to say this morning. The lesson was just what it was, and it was wonderful. But it talked about, again, our purpose and why we were created was to serve the Lord, was to belong to him. He doesn't need our money, and he really doesn't. He wants us. He wants our hearts to belong to him. He wants our soul to belong to him. And the one thing, Bishop, that you said, I was so thankful that you brought out, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be a sit around like the song says, sit around heaven all day doing nothing. There's going to be teaching and preaching and loving in heaven. There would be no need for him to have us come there to do nothing. God is not a God of nothing.
Amen.
He's a God of all things. So I thank you, Bishop, for the wonderful message. I thank for everybody who has had something to say. I'm glad that your little sister is with us today. I love her already, and I don't know her yet, but I hope I will. But I just thank God for it all. His purpose is for us to love him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, Minister Anthony, I'm going to ask you to come into the room, and I am so blessed that my other sister, whom I love dearly, Evangelist Michelle Scott, is in the house this morning. So if someone could be preparing her, perhaps she can give us a word this morning, and I know the issues with her phone, so we're going to hear from Minister Anthony, and then we will hear from Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen. Minister Anthony? Okay. He must be having technical difficulties. We'll just keep it moving. Evangelist Michelle, sweetheart, are you there? Are you here in the room with us this morning?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Evangelist Michelle. And I'll come back to you, Minister Anthony. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. Well, first, I just wanted to say praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I thank him for the message and the messenger. And just wanted all the new converts and everyone who heard this beautiful message to know that we must never be in the mindset of giving up and not serving God. No matter what we're going through, we must stand up even stiffer and stronger and be more steadfast when we're going through our trials and tribulations and our unexplained sicknesses and griefs and deaths. And we just got to pour ourselves, you know, deeper into God's holy word even more. I just want to thank you for the word and let everybody know that we need to keep our heart set and stuck on serving God and know that he's always with us through it all. God bless you, everybody, and thank you for that beautiful word.
Hallelujah. I love you, sis, so much. Okay, little brother, come on in the room. Oh, he dropped. Okay. All right, we're going to go on down here to my sister, Minister Gladys. Come on in the room. Minister Gladys. Okay. All right, he jumped back in. Minister Anthony.
Here I go.
Oh. Oh, okay, just a minute, Minister Gladys. Minister Anthony, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hey,
it's all right. You live and in living color. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we know the devil's a liar. We already know that.
Devil's mad.
Stuff. Yeah. Well, yeah, but hey, you know what? Be mad.
Be mad. We don't care.
You know, I thank you and the ministry. I know I'm not on as often, but it's always a blessing to be here. And you know, Bishop, you know my journey. Yeah, you've seen it.
Yeah.
We've known each other about 5-6 years, and it's been a challenging journey these last 7-8 years. But see, when you give your life to Father God, you give your life to the Lord, you're gonna walk the same path our Savior walked, Jesus walked, Yeshua. And it wasn't an easy path as he physically walked this earth, facing challenges and facing persecution and facing all kinds of garbage from people. But you know what? He brings us through. He sustains us. He replenishes us. And Father God has put us here not just to love, but to have a life and have a life more abundantly. And that means not to be ordinary. We are not to be here seeking ordinary. We're not here to be mediocre. We're not here to be average. We're not here to fit in. We're not here to be comfortable. You know, he wants us to be extraordinary. So he's allowed some extraordinary circumstances to happen in my life, extraordinary things that, you know, in my heart, I wouldn't want to happen. And it's because things happen that have hurt my heart, that have been difficult and painful. But he needs to allow these. He needs to allow these things to happen so that his extraordinary manifestation.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Minister Gladys. Amen, brother. Minister Gladys. All right. All right, Minister Gladys. You come on. Okay. Thank you.
Here we are, having a little technical difficulties this morning.
That's all right. The devil mad.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Giving God all the praises and all the glory this morning. I'm just grateful this morning. Woke us up this morning, something that was not promised. Load us up with daily blessings, daily gifts, you know. And I just thank God. I thank God for the air. I thank God for the wind that's blowing in the trees. Father God,
yeah.
I'm just grateful this morning. The birds that I thank God for that. I thank God to be able to see this morning and hear, and I hear
yeah.
the word. I thank God that you preached this sermon on how to better live, you know, a Christian life and the walk and the three principles and how the oppositions will come up against you, but they're just principalities. Just hold
that's
on
it,
and know that God is God. Know that God is
that's
God,
all.
And he is nothing that he cannot do. And I just
Amen.
Thank God for this message this morning. It really gave me, put a fire in me. I thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Yeah. I thank God. I thank God.
Hallelujah.
Well, yeah. Yes, I thank
Hallelujah.
God. I thank God for this ministry. I always tell you, I love this ministry. I love this ministry and everyone that's in it, Lord. I just thank you. I thank you, Bishop Cook, for the word, for the teaching. Oh, thank
God
you.
God bless you, sweetheart.
Thank you, thank
I love you. Amen.
I love
now
you.
Now let us take it
Amen.
Back down to Arizona, to our beautiful prophetess and apostle, Holloway.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you. This was a wonderful word. I just thank God for the word. Sometimes we think that we're not supposed to go through opposition once we know Jesus, but this is our trials, they used to tell us, is what makes us. And I said, why did they say that? Because through every trial, we learn something new. And persecution is just as much a promise as all the other promises. But he said with 100-fold persecution, 100-fold blessing. So
yeah.
we thank the Lord
yes,
for taking
indeed.
Us through.
Yeah.
That he said go through. We don't always
yes.
stay in the middle there going through and suffering and suffering. That has an expiration date on it.
Yeah.
And God brings us out, and we give him the glory, and it's all for God's glory. It's also that we can say, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't
yeah.
be where I am today. So hold on. We just have to hold on. I love what Evangelist Scott said. When we're going through and it's getting heavier, we've got to pour ourselves deeper into the word. Because that's
yeah.
where God encourages us through his word. So we just be blessed. We're just blessed in and out of persecution and
yes,
in and out
are.
Of our trials. We just a blessed people.
Yes, we are.
We give God praise, glory, and honor for the word today. We thank God. Yes, the apostles. They went through. They
yeah.
went through. And I say they went through. They got through on the other side of through. So
yes,
we know that we will go through a trial, a test. It's to build us up. It's to encourage us. is to make us stronger, because we will learn that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes,
so with, even in the trial, David said, I went through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's only a shadow. You say, well, the shadow of death. Well, it's only a shadow because the sun, the S-O-N, is shining on you. And the enemy comes between you and the S-O-N. And so he casts a shadow on you, just a shadow. So you're not going to know. He can't do nothing that God won't allow him to do. So you know that it's just a shadow. And you just flick him up and you keep on going. Through the valley. So God is good, and he will bring us out. He said he'd bring us out. We know we're gone. And then you turn around and say, okay, God, what was I supposed to learn from this going through? And God will reveal to you what you were supposed to learn, what you learned. So the next time
you
go through, they said, okay, I learned this back there. So, okay, God, what you going to teach me now? Oh, God, what am I going to learn now? Oh, God, I'm waiting for the other side. I'm going to go through cheerfully to the other side so that I can see what God is doing. So God lets us see things. And when I got saved and when I said to God, I said, okay, God, I see over the other side, and I see the blessing. And, Lord, whatever I have to do to get to the blessing, whatever I have to I'm willing to go through. So God took us through, and we're on the other side. So we give God praise, the glory, and honor today for the word and the blessing. The blessed speaker, we give God praise.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to call on my beloved sister, Evangelist Hurricane Horton. Come on, baby.
God bless the message. God bless the message. Did y'all read that along with her? Let me tell you something. This stuff that the word that we just read, some of this stuff is going on right now. We don't even know it. He don't want you to call on the name of Jesus. You know what he's telling you now? That's not politically correct. Have you heard that term before? I know you have. When you call people, this is not the time for that. That's not politically correct. Really? When is it not time to call on Jesus? This is how subtle he is. He's setting us up right now saying, get ready. You're going to go through. You are definitely going through. But remember who you belong to. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God shall deliver us out of them all. Now, don't get it mixed up. Now, if you're saying and doing the wrong thing, you're not giving God the glory. You just need him to bail you out of the trouble that you make. But if you're giving God the glory and you call on the name of Jesus and you go through, he's bringing you out. Glory to God. And that is when your life is giving him the glory. As she was saying, Peter didn't want to be crucified in the same way Jesus was crucified. He said, crucify me upside down. We make the statement, for God I live, for God I die. Over in Rwanda, they're killing Christians. In the Middle East, they're actually killing Christians right now in the 21st century. And there are no consequences for killing them. Get ready. The government is going to come, and I'm write what I'm saying down. The government is going to start coming to our churches and telling us what we can and cannot preach. And please thank the God that our pastors and don't take any money from them, because they offer all kind of money. Because if you take the money, they own you. You can't preach that. Saints of God is coming to that. It's very subtle.
But it's coming. It's already here. It's here.
Coming. So you get ready.
Yes.
So if you made a commitment, if you made a vow, for God I live, for God I die, like these disciples did, you get ready.
Get ready, because it's
coming.
What?
It's coming. And you're going to know for sure if your words are true. You got to dedicate. You got to make sacrifice, fast and pray and seek the Lord the more. People walking up and down the streets cussing and saying anything they want to, but yet they're going to silence the saints of God. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah. Come on now, sis.
We're going to buy a strong man. See, the Bible says you're buying the strong, you can rob a strong man. How can you rob a strong man's house unless you're buying the strong man?
Yeah.
We have the strength. We have the power. We have the authority. We have access
to God. We have
the
tools. That's right.
But if he binds us, then what?
Huh.
Why? Because we don't want to say anything. We're just trying to keep the peace. No. You tell the truth. We have to
tell the truth
and let people know who Jesus is. And stand
fast
on what we believe. Let it go on. I can go on because this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Sis, this was beautiful. But God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Stand strong and know who you are in the Lord. God bless
you. Yes. God bless you, beautiful sister. Now, I don't want to put my little sister Jacoya Gray on blast, but Jacoya, if you would like to say something, sweetheart, you also are more than welcome to have a word this morning.
I just want to thank everyone for having me and guiding me, you know, back into church where I need to be. And I look forward to continue to hearing everyone's word every Sunday and just ask you guys to pray for me and to just guide me the right way.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer request. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just want to come thanking you for the testimony of our little sister, Jacoya. Father God, we just pray that you will continue to surround her with people that love you and will love on her, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that you use all of us to help encourage her, inspire her, uplift her, Lord, and instruct her on a more excellent way in you. So, Lord, I thank you for everything that you have done in this service this morning. I thank you for all of my beautiful co-laborers this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that we are able to come together from all over this country and just praise your holy and righteous name. So, Father, we just pray it all in the mighty, matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, if there be nothing else, we will ask Mother Mitchell to read us our benediction, and I will dismiss you from our service. Amen.
Amen. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Amen.
Hey, let the Church of God say amen. Saints, hallelujah, amen and amen. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and this morning, hallelujah, we have had an awesome time in King Jesus. We pray that you have heard something that has truly empowered you and impacted you to live a more abundant life in Christ. We pray that you continue to follow us throughout the week here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, please join me for Taking It to the Streets, where we will be discussing how to deal with betrayal and broken trust. And for more information about our programs, they may be found, our schedule may be found in the body of every program in our slideshow. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Until we see you again next week, my family, God bless you. I sure do love you all. Be blessed, everyone. Hallelujah. I love you, family.
You
are awesome, family. Love you, Jacoya. Love everybody.
Love you all.
Love you, too.
Love you. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
Was a message.